Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you guys doing? I'm quickly going to do a review, and this is not really a planned review. I just watched this. It was for me quite interesting, and it was a kind of, call it, cross-examination from Piers Morgan and Andrew Tate. And in this cross-examination, I would say that Piers Morgan really made a fool of himself. Incessant interruption, embarrassing insecurities on display. I mean, I couldn't even hear the answers that Andrew Tate was giving, because Piers Morgan was just so persistent in his interruption. I have no idea how someone that is involved in journalism for so long can have such an amateurish approach to cross-examination. But there were some benefits that came from it. And the purpose of this particular video is to go through some of the discussions that took place, which I found interesting, not least because actually some mention of Muslim men and Islam and the Quran itself was made in the video. I would say that the video was pretty much cut down into three different segments. The first segment, they were talking about authority. And Piers Morgan's position is that if one says that a man has or should have, maybe, some level of authority over a woman in a husband-wife relationship, that this is tantamount in his eyes to misogyny. To which, I think, Tate argued impressively, though not impressively enough, in my opinion, that actually there are circumstances wherein which a man is expected to put forward services of protection. And if that is the case, and the man, if he were to protect the woman, could put himself or his life in danger, then why shouldn't he be, if you like, in charge of the decision-making regarding that particular woman in these contexts and potentially other contexts as well. Piers Morgan seemed not to be able to differentiate between two different types of authority. What is referred to as moral authority and what is also referred to as legal authority. He kept attempting to conflate the two categories. And in logic, this is, or in formal logic, this is referred to as a category mistake fallacy. This is actually referred to as a category mistake fallacy. So both of them were using the same word, but both of them were using it in completely different ways. And when Tate was explaining to him what he meant by the word authority, which is a moral authority, Piers Morgan didn't seem to actually comprehend this point, which is totally embarrassing for someone of his age, and someone who's been in the industry as long as him, someone who we would assume to be an educated man. Secondly, I think there's more to be said. In fact, there can be consequences, legal consequences. When I say legal here, we're speaking in the British context, but we might as well be speaking in any Western context, that can be imposed on, let's say, a wife, if obedience is inhibited or obscured. For example, if a woman is not fulfilling her sexual rights, I'm giving you an Islamic paradigm. From the Islamic paradigm, if the woman doesn't fulfill her sexual rights and she leaves a man, she withholds from the man sexually. The man is within his right not to provide for that woman. And this is actually mentioned in the books of jurisprudence. So in other words, if she is receiving a monthly stipend, or if she is getting money from the man, that he doesn't need to provide that for her anymore, because she has decided to withhold, so he can also decide to withhold. Now, this is legal, because there's nothing in the law that says that a man has to give a woman money. There's nothing in the law at all. This doesn't include, of course, the children. The children are a separate unit of analysis. But what I am saying is that there are consequences. So even from a legal paradigm, authority can be manifest from a man to a woman in ways which are monetary. Now, one could argue, what about if the woman is working already? Well, in the Islamic paradigm, even if the woman is working, the man should be spending for the woman in the household. And so she would still be losing out monetarily for that. So authority can be manifest. The example that Tate gave about, you know, locking her in the room and so on, this is something which we don't believe in anyway as Muslims. So that's the first thing I will say. The second conversation they had, and I think here Tate should be a little bit more introspective and self-reflective, is where he referred to women as property. And then he actually invoked the Quran and the Bible and said that this is mentioned the Quran, well, you can go back to the Quran, I'm paraphrasing, or go back to the Bible or something like this. Well, this is actually a misrepresentation, especially of the Quran. There is nothing like that in the Quran at all. And he giving the example of a woman taking the second name of the man, that's not actually an Islamic principle, for example. And since Islam came into the picture, it's important that this clarification is made. A woman keeps her own name on the Islamic paradigm. Why? Because Islam came to protect five things, and lineage is one of them, and that is for men and for women. So I thought that particular segment wasn't well presented, and I think he should take responsibility for that. And considering the fact, and I think Morgan should have mentioned this, that his business interest, Tate's business interest, has been providing, I don't know what it is, website services, sexual services, webcam sexual services and stuff like that. The idea of mentioning women as property, I think, is pertinent, to be honest with you. And I think it is objectifying and it is problematic. And I think his invocation of religion is problematic as well. He has no right to mention the Quran. He has no right to mention the Bible in these things. Thirdly, I think, that's really the two main segments. Then there was a discussion about depression. I think that Piers did a very poor job there as well. He could have done it, asked some more pressing questions. But what I will say is that, to be honest, this aura of invincibility that Andrew Tate wants to manifest in the public sphere, now that is the mask, the faux mask of invincibility, is clearly starting to drop. And to be honest with you, I don't even know why Tate went and spoke to Piers Morgan in the first place. His agenda is very clear. His tactics are very well known. He actually is known to distort information before he puts it on public. He never wants a structure which is balanced. In other words, where he himself is being interrogated, as well as being the interrogator. He has never engaged in a public debate. He would prefer just to be the interrogator. And so this individual, going on to his program, I think was a mistake, especially considering the fact that, usually Tate wears his sunglasses, and the fact that, the light was bouncing off his eyes, it seemed like he was a little bit teary-eyed, it seemed like he was a little bit disheveled at times. There was no need for it at all. In Islam, there is a saying, which is that al-yadul ulya khayrun min al-yadi sufla. It's the prophetic saying, is that the upper hand is better than the lower hand. In other words, don't put yourself in a position where you know that the odds are against you. You're putting yourself in a disadvantageous position by letting a man who is known for his incessant interrogation, not allowing you to finish, distortion of material, to speak to you the way he did, with no respect at all. And I think it showed some weakness in Tate, because there were questions that he asked, which I was shocked at the response that Tate provided. When he asked, for example, are you a feminist? Why couldn't you just offer him a response and say no? We saw a new kind of apologetic side of you, which is completely off-brand, something which we don't expect, number one. Number two, you actually declared, I think I haven't been watching your videos, but you declared that you're a libertarian. And your whole, from what I understand, your whole thing is about coming outside of the matrix. Now, mentioning libertarian, that you're a libertarian, which, you know, was predicated on the liberal ethic, or liberal, you know, political liberalism, or philosophical liberalism. But to mention that you're a libertarian, you're telling us that you're well within the matrix here. So what I will say to Tate is that the way to really come out of the matrix, as it were, is not to be a libertarian. In fact, that's the dominant ethic. That's exactly what everyone wants us to be. But it's to be the religion which I think you know is true deep down, which is a Muslim, to believe in one God and to worship in one God, to do God's work. And what I mean by that is to follow God's laws, his legislation, and so on. And to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because do you know what it is? And I'll say this, and it'll be the last thing I say. It's really interesting that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went through what he went through in life. People don't know that all of his children, save one child, which is Fatima, died in his own time. He was a person, his wife died, he went through heartbreak after heartbreak, and you know, his uncles died, the closest people to him died. He went through wars, over 20 wars he participated in himself. He had 9 wives at one time. He was running a state, doing wars, managing 9 wives at one time. All of these things are incredible things about the Prophet Muhammad, the final prophet. And it's itself, I would say, is an evidence for his prophethood. Following a man like that, okay, who in the most difficult times is able to persevere, is able to direct people, to be the best leader, you know, who we're mentioning 1,400 years after his death, which is way more than we're going to say about any of us, okay? That is true religion, okay? That is the true religion, and that is the true, you will really succeed from doing these things. So that's all I have to say about that, and hopefully we'll see each other soon. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.